Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hello, and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Today is an exciting day for us. We are talking to someone that we are both fans of and have been for many years. We're honored to have him on our show. Joe and I are both big wrestling fans, as you may know, and a few years ago we realized that there was a new yoga program that had been created by a former wrestler, so we had to look into it. It's a fantastic program that has helped so many people, including ourselves. Diamond Dallas Page has become a hero and an inspiration to many people. We're hoping that by having him on the show, that other people that suffer from mental illness will decide to try to feel better mentally by making themselves feel better physically. And just so everyone is aware, he is a wrestler, so there may be a little bit of PG-13 language during the show.
It might get salty, we don't know.
Yep, he does have a propensity for that, so just be prepared. If there are any little kids in the room, you might want to chew them out. But please welcome to the show my hero, my mentor, and someone that I proudly call my buddy, Diamond Dallas Page.
Hey, Dallas.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
No worries.
You know, Beck's spoken to you before, but this is a first for me, so it's truly an honor. It's very nice to meet you.
Well, it's good to be on the show.
Well, do you have any questions for us before we just jump right in?
Not really. You know, a lot of people want to, like, give me the questions ahead of time and tell me what they're going to ask me, but I'm always like, just ask them. If I don't want to do something, I'll just say, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
You
know? Well, our goal is to make our guests feel as comfortable as possible. We don't want, you know, we're not TMZ. We don't want to make anybody squirm or you know, have to answer anything difficult. So we try to cater our questions to, you know, the good stuff, the positive stuff. So.
Well, that's right. You know, I'm all Mr. Positive. As a matter of fact, the WWE's got Diamond Dallas Page Positively Living, the DVD set coming out. I believe it's the day after Mania. Maybe it's the day after Raw. I'm not sure what the exact date is. It's around April 3rd or 4th. And the whole beginning bio of my career, they really did a great job with it. And I have so many stories that they actually put a section together with the DDP stories. And they put some editing into that as well, which it's like a nice little bonus. And then it gets into matches from my first pay-per-view match, you know, down towards the end, you know. So it, you know, it chronicle. How do you say that? Can you say that, Brenda?
Chronicles
my career, right? chronicles my career, and some of the beginning matches I never would have put in, and it's not really a best of, you know. It's like towards the end it is, or towards the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I had a match with Mark Mello in '95, I think it was, and I thought it was an amazing match. It still holds up today, old school, and. You know, I hadn't hit my prime then, but I was on my way at that point. So it was pretty cool to have that match in there because Mark's a good buddy of mine.
Sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
That's very sweet.
I had just noticed that that DVD was coming out, and Joe and I were really stoked about that. We can't wait to pick that up. So
exactly.
When did you first decide to become a wrestler?
Well, I tried it when I was a kid. You know, when I was 17, I wanted to be a wrestler. And at 22, I made a run at it, but it was a half-assed run, and training was only once a week, and you can't really learn anything once a week. I had about 3 matches. I was horrible. I tweaked my knee pretty bad on the 3rd match, and it put me on the shelf for a little bit. And I was in the nightclub business, and I got my first job actually running a bar that had a rock and roll band, and you know, I'd done everything in the bar business by that time, so I had never run anything. So that was my first, introduction into that, which I loved. I got caught up in the booze, the broads, and the party, and sort of lost focus on the whole wrestling scene, and then it blew up huge, and then I was pissed. You know, in the 80s, I was pissed that I wasn't a part of it, you know, and then I stopped watching completely. And then I got pulled in by Jesse Ventura. I thought he was amazing. But the wrestler who pulled me in the most was Jake Snake Roberts, you know, and to think that he would become one of my mentors later on is pretty crazy.
Yeah. After spending so much time in WCW, did you think you would ever be in WWE?
I always knew I was going to be in WWE. You know, to me, like, when I started, you know, that's all I saw. When I came in as a manager in 1988, you know, AWA, Florida Championship Wrestling, all my roads led to the WWE. I was going to finish there. Because I grew up, you know, from the Jersey Shore, kid from the Jersey Shore in the 60s and 70s that, you know, watched the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. And that's what I was raised on. Yep. So to me, that was where I needed to end my career then.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that when you realized that your wrestling career might be nearing its end, you probably still had a few lingering aches and pains?
Oh, no. I had aches and pains my whole career.
Yeah.
Wasn't just towards the end. You know, I beat up my body pretty strong when I was a kid. But then starting, you know, going into the mountains in 1988, I mean, the wear and tear on my body, you know, was brutal. And who starts at 35 years old? I don't know anybody. Maybe some independent guys, but not any guy who ever had the career I had. The wear and tear on your body is brutal. That's where, you know, DDP yoga comes from. There would be no DDP yoga if I didn't blow my back out. But I was constantly looking for ways to hold back the hands of people. Whether it was icing my body, whether it was getting deep muscle massage therapy, chiropractic, applied kinesiology, I mean, organic juicing. I mean, you name it, I did it. Because, again, you know, my career took off when I was 40, you know. Imagine getting in the ring and bouncing around right now.
Waking up in the morning.
That's my point.
how do I want to ask you? Because obviously you were doing the yoga as a recuperative thing.
Not yoga.
But
what's it called, Joe? What's it called?
Got to call it DDP yoga.
DDP yoga. Well, that's right. I'm sorry.
It's completely different, you know. I mean,
right.
I'll take you into a yoga studio and see what they do and then walk into the DDP Yoga Performance Center or a workshop or the DDP Yoga Retreat, and you're going to go like, this is really nothing like that. Like nothing.
Right.
Now, is there moves that are repetitive on each side? Sure. But watch a wrestling match. How many moves do you see over and over and over again in different matches? But because they come in a different sequence, because they come with a different talent, the difference between AJ Styles doing a move and a kid who can do the same move coming out of the performance center are two different worlds.
Right.
So, again, you know, DDP yoga is all about, you know, tone and attitude. It's about, engaging the muscles to get your heart rate jacked up. You know, it's about having fun during the workout, you know, as opposed to, you know, chanting or humming or whatever.
watching regular yoga just seems kind of subdued. And, you know, Rebecca and I have done your programs, you know, for quite a long time now. And, you know, it does. It jacks you up. You feel awesome. You feel positive afterwards. How did that just develop? You know, and what was it? Is that just
personality? How did you decide to go with yoga?
Yeah.
So, again, DDP, and I pretty much my goal is in the next 3 years for everyone to call it DDPY. Then they'll never call it yoga. Because if it's sort of like P90X, I mean, no one even knows what P90X stands for, you know, but they know what P90X is. or DDPY, right. They will know what it stands for. But it's also yoga for people who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. So I was that guy. And for me, to finally, like, become flexible, not physically, but mentally, to the idea of doing some sort of yoga, you know, I had to be really injured, and I was. And it was a career-ending injury. I had three of the top spine specialists telling me my career was over. And that's when Diamond Dallas Page says, I'll do whatever it takes to get back in that ring. One of the key components were yoga positions, along with the flow that yoga has. I also mixed them with rehab. And again, it was by accident. And I was doing this yoga tape with this guy, Brian Kest, who's really an amazing teacher for yoga. He's awesome. And I would do his tapes, you know, over and over again. And I couldn't figure out, you know, how to modify the moves in the beginning because there were no modifications. But I figured them out of necessity. And then one night, about 3 weeks in, I decided to mix the rehab. You know, the rehabilitation techniques that they teach you when you, you know, get a shoulder, you know, surgery or knee surgery or back surgery. There's all sorts of rehab for that. But what they do is they give you 3 or 4 weeks of that, and then they put you out on your own. Well, 99% of the time, the people aren't ready to be out on their own. You know, they've only been doing the rehab when they're doing it with a therapist. So they really don't know how to, you know, keep it moving forward. So what I did was I mixed the yoga positions with the rehabilitation techniques, added in old school calisthenics, but I had to do them with a slow burn movement. Instead of up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, I had to go slow because my body was beat up. And what I found out completely by accident is every time you flex or engage a muscle, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle. That's how you get your heart rate jacked up when you're doing the DDPY program. And again, all of this was by accident. It was only to help to get me in the ring. I worked myself up from 20 minutes a day to 3 hours. But it wasn't three hours all at one time. It was 3 hours broken up over the day. Like I might wake up and do 20 minutes. Then I might get something to eat, you know, do a couple things, get on the mat and do an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And later on I do 45 minutes. Before I went to bed, I'd do 15 or 20. Got to remember, I signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal. If I can't wrestle, it's going to go away. Right. I've never gotten paid, even though I worked on top all through 97 and 98, on top with everyone in 13 out of 24 pay-per-views. I never made any money over that period because my contract wasn't a good contract. It was good for, you know, a normal wrestler, but the guy who was performing where I was in main events, everybody else was making seven figures. I was making a quarter of that. And, you know, it was finally time to get paid, and now I'm hurt. So enter what will now today be known. It started as yoga for normal people. You know, then it became yoga for regular guys, and it became YRG. And I couldn't really get people to understand, you know, YRG, they still wanted to call it my yoga. So when I finally said, screw it, I'm going to call it DDP yoga, in my mind, I know I was going to brand it DDPY at some point. And the main reason I was going to do that, because people will say, you're yoga. It's not fucking yoga. And it is, you know, but it's not yoga for people who do yoga, which is another way of saying it's for people who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. And I never said that before until just a second. But it's right. This isn't for people who do yoga because they wouldn't dig it. Well, some of them would. You know, probably about 15-20% would really dig it. The other 80%, they're like that, you know, namaste, chill back. And I get that. My ex-wife, you know, she does both. But she loves yoga, even though she owns a part of the company. She does, you know, she loves the serenity of yoga. Me, not so much. You know, do I appreciate it? Do I respect it? Big time. I think everyone needs to be doing some sort of yoga from 40 on up, no matter what. But it's the kids who do it younger and really own it are the ones that are going to be pretty much pain-free. So imagine what pain-free was like. You probably experienced it back when you were, 12, 13, 14, you didn't even know what pain was. Then you
right.
got older and you got beat up. And then you were like, oh, my God, my knee. Oh, my back. Oh, my shoulder, my neck, my ankle.
I'm laughing because that's me every morning.
Exactly. but that's why you should start with the wake-up workout. If you start with a wake-up, it's 10 minutes, you won't feel like that because it's oil for the tin man and woman. And that's like to get out of bed. Now, if you're eating really clean, which I know you guys have done and not done, if you're eating really clean and you've gone over 3 weeks of GMO-free food, you are automatically going to feel way better because the food is shit. Most of the average people eat is shit. I would never put it in my body knowing what I know. And that's another reason why at 61, I can do what I can do.
Hey, DDP, I've got a really important question for you coming up next, but we've got to take a real quick break. We are going to lead in with a song. Scott Hoying, Mitch Grassi, and Friends, they cover Rise by Katy Perry. Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are so glad to have you here. We are talking to an amazing individual that we both absolutely adore, Diamond Dallas Page. Thanks once again so much for being on the show today.
So my pleasure. Go ahead.
So you have helped many former and current wrestlers either get back in shape or in even better shape, most notably Jake the Snake Roberts. In fact, you documented your journey on film with Jake as well as Scott Hall in The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Let me just say, if you're looking to be inspired, you have got to watch this film. It's absolutely phenomenal. But be prepared, because I'm even getting a lump in my throat just talking about it. DDP, you know what a crybaby I am. But be prepared with the Kleenex if you're a crybaby like me, because you're going to need it. It's inspiring, and it's amazing, and I can't say enough about it. So how rewarding is it for you to see their success due to your guidance?
Sure. Considering both of those guys really helped me in my career big time, a number of times, to be able to get back to both of them, especially Jake, because, I always say without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. But without Jake Snake Roberts, there's no three-time world champion. Like, Jake taught me, and he took me under his wing, and he made me figure a lot of it out. But he would mentor me for 5 years, until my career blew up, and we'd still talk occasionally, Beth.
So what was it like filming all of that, filming the progression? Was it frustrating for you at any point? Because I know that, I have addicts in my life and my family. My brother died from addiction. So did it get frustrating for you at any point when he would fall back?
Well, you saw the movie. I remember the three of us come from a prefabricated world. The first reality show ever is wrestling. They took real life and worked it in the storyline, so people blurred the lines so they didn't know what was real and what wasn't. So coming from that, to do anything with this movie, everything had to be super authentic. And I had cameras all around the house. And, guys who worked for me. And it wasn't like I had a business in my home. My home was my business. And, they caught a lot of really raw stuff, especially when it came to that ride home with Jake from the airport when he was just, annihilated. When Scott Hall called, what you saw is exactly how it went down. You can't really fake that kind of shit, And for us, coming from the world where we fake stuff all the time, you know, to try to get people to believe, it had to be like super raw. We're super raw. And if there wasn't any cameras going and something was happening, I would stop and go, everybody stop for a second. Chris or Nathan, Steve, somebody at Diner with a camera. And we had over 500 hours that we filmed. And Steve Yu, the director, somehow put that together in 93 minutes and made a hell of a story. Right now, Resurrection of Jake the Snake is rated number 2 all-time favorite sports documentary, which when you think about 30 for 30s and all the amazing sports docs that are on Netflix, that's pretty crazy. We are the number 1 highest rated biopic. And overall, of all the documentaries, which has got to be 10,000 or more documentaries, probably more than that, you know, on Netflix, we're rated number 6. You know, and that's because of the people, after they saw it, they went up there and put a 5, most of them, 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a solid 5 stars on there, not like 4 3/4, solid 5 stars.
I know, we gave it 5, so.
Yeah, it's well earned.
People took the time. People took the time to do that. It's probably the thing that I'm most proud of because it encapsulates everything. You know, and that's the only, that's the main reason. I, you know, that's of all the things I've done because, you know, you see everything in there. You know, how we started out, you know, how our relationship started out, where we were, and then the rawness of, you know, just the addiction because, you know, it's dark, obviously. You know, we've got over 97 fucks in there. You know, like we counted them one time and just made one video of just fuck, you know. And what'd you say, baby?
Blooper.
Yeah, it was a blooper, just fuck. You know, fuck you, fuck, you know, fuck, you know. It was crazy.
Well, it's a good thing. Good thing podcasts aren't managed by the FCC.
Yeah, right. between that and Netflix and you know the internet, it pretty much it's the Wild Wild West, you know. And that's how we shot that super raw, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never thought of you know censoring anything. We were filming everything, and Jake and Scott both knew that before they ever came in. Like, you want to come in? I got this. You guys don't have to pay anything to be here. You don't have to chip in for anything. You don't have to pay any rent, nothing. Just you need to live and start to try to help heal yourself. You know, that was there has to be the work put in. And, it was powerful.
That was so awesome. That's what was so awesome about it to us was, you know, and I remember us pausing it many times to discuss what we were watching and you know, pausing it and looking at each other and go, I want to move in there, man. I'll live there. That place is awesome. It's fantastic.
It meant a lot to me watching the movie just from the point of view of, you know, I'm old school wrestling fan. You know, I'm talking, I grew up on it in the 80s. You know, I'm 42 right now. And Jake was one of my guys back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it broke my heart seeing how badly he felt and seeing what you did for him. I mean, you brought him back from the dead, man. And it was just, you know, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it because it's so special. It was so special. You could see the love, you could see the friendship that you both had for each other. And you wanted Jake to be better, you know, and you knew he had it in him and to see him making the progress. And then the same thing with Scott, you know, just really on behalf of the fans, DDP, thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, if you've had a chance, I don't know if you got a chance to see Jake on the road doing his unspoken word. There was like a year where we talked, you know, every couple of weeks, but we didn't really see each other. And that clarity of his soberness when he showed up here, how long ago was the first time? About 3 months ago? I was talking to my wife. 4 months ago?
Okay.
When he first came in? I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago. Jake had come in. We hadn't seen him in over a year. And I'd gotten to talk to him at the PC before he, because he always stays with me whenever he comes in. And his comedian buddy, Alex, who's, you know, really a funny guy, and also started at 550 pounds. And Jake Roberts got him organic juicing. He dropped 100 pounds just juicing. Then he's dropped another 60 doing the workout and juicing still not all the time, but a lot. And Jake has been, you know, his mentor for this, which to me, you know, when the student becomes a teacher, you know, then you really have something. And Jake, I think it was West Point, when the student becomes a teacher, the circle is complete. And to listen to Jake, and you know, and to talk to him, and for some reason I don't remember where I was. I think it was my wife called me, and I go, Brenda, I go, wait till you see Jake. I go, I don't want to say anything. I just want you to see it. And you tell me. Because she was here the whole time. She wasn't living with me yet then. We just started dating. So she was there literally at the beginning when these guys were moved into the house. And she would come in for a week, and then she'd leave for 3 weeks, and she'd come back in for 6 days, then she'd leave for 2 weeks. So she would be around them, and she saw them, you know, especially Jake, because he just would say shit back then where you'd go, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Don't talk like that to people. You know, because he just really, you know, you got to remember, and his son figured it out, like, Jake was a demigod. I mean, he was so over in his 20s that he couldn't do anything wrong. Everybody loved him. In his 30s, if you can still drink and party like that, you are a god, period.
Yeah.
And that's how people look at you. But when you get to your 40s and you're still drinking like that, people go, hey, man, you really ought to slow that down because – you know, it's time to grow up a little bit. If you're doing it in your 50s and in your 60s, you're a dirty old man. You can't get away with saying that shit anymore. But he didn't know because no one ever grabbed him and, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you can't do that. There was one night he came down, and it's not in the movie. And I got, as it was happening, I was wishing we were filming it, but nobody was there. And he came down in the kitchen, and he punched the marble counter that I had. And he hurt, of course, hurt his hand. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm such a loser. I'm such a loser. I can't believe I just did that. And he told me what he did. It wasn't that big a deal, but it, you know, it wasn't a smart decision. So I grabbed him, and I said, come here. Walk around with me. And we walked into the bathroom. And I put him in front of the mirror. And I said, what do you see? He said, a loser. A fucking loser. I said, stop saying that. Stop saying that, bro. I go, look at the shirt you're wearing. And the shirt he's wearing is something he's wearing right in the beginning of the movie. It's a skeleton waving a flag that says, wasted youth. I said, you wear that shirt all the time. I go, you're telling yourself every time you look in the mirror, subconsciously, you wasted it. You're nothing. You're a piece of shit. And that's what you say to yourself. I said, you wear that Charles Manson T-shirt. What the fuck? I go, you got 8 kids. You want any of your kids anywhere near that scumbag? He's like, well, no. I go, why would you promote him? Why would you wear him on your chest like he's Jake the Snake Roberts? He's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And he just sort of, you know, he just, you know, went into his, you know, his own little mode there. I could see him thinking in his, you know, within, you know, just his inner being. And I said, dude, what you should be wearing is shirts that say unstoppable, positive energy, never give up. I go, that's the shit you should be wearing. And then about an hour later, he had come back from upstairs, and he came downstairs. And he goes, D, look at this. And he showed me a T-shirt. you just contacted one of our web guys, Robert, and the T-shirt said, "My history is not my destiny." Because that's my T-shirt. I go, that's fucking powerful, bro.
You know?
Absolutely.
Everything comes down. And I know, you know, a lot of people, and we've talked about this, Rebecca, about depression. Well, there's two things that cures depression. Stop that inner voice running over and 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 over again in your head about, I suck. I'm never going to be able to do this. This is never going to happen. I mean, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to fall. Now, I'm not saying depression isn't a real thing, because it's real. And it attacks everyone. It attacks everyone. But you can decide whether you're going to embrace that negativity, because it's so easy. We're so used to it because it's a habit. We're so used to taking that in and being the victim. It's become second nature to us. Does that make sense? You know, like, when you don't want it, fuck, nobody wants it, but you're so used to embracing it, you do it instinctively. That's one way. Changing that story, changing your physical state is huge, because watch yourself the next time you start getting depressed. You go look in the mirror. Take your eyes out of your body, stick them out, and look at yourself, and look how you're sitting, how you're standing, how you're walking. I guarantee you're slumped over in some way. I guarantee your face looks depressed. I guarantee every person, not guarantee, but 99.999% of all people have at least something, one thing that happened in their life that every time they think of it, they laugh or smile.
Yeah.
That changes your physiology. Force yourself to laugh. Think back at that, because that's the beginning of getting out. But a lot of people want to embrace that depression because that feels so natural. Well, if it was easy, everybody would be positive. Everybody would have a great attitude. But it's not. You've got to train yourself the same way you've trained yourself to embrace the depression. Now, that's one thing. That's all one thing. Here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Help somebody. Make a difference in somebody's life. When you're making a difference, and I'll give you the two easiest things anyone can do. Pretty much everybody lives near a hospital somewhere that kids have cancer. And they ain't getting out of there. Well, I mean, cancer is everywhere, and it's mainly to do, you know, if you look at the last 20 years, what has happened to the numbers just since 1996 with cancer, autism, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, ADHD, every one of those numbers have blown through the roof. There is one thing that has changed. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Depression. Put that on that list. One thing that's changed, the food.
Yep.
The air might be a little shittier, but the only thing that you've changed of how you used to eat, because now it's all genetically modified. And the biggest lobbyists in Washington, D.C. are drug pushers. They're the lobbyists for Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Big Pharma wants you to take medications. Because, I mean, I just talked to a guy the other day. His one med he's on is $1,004 a month.
Yeah.
$1,004. His insurance doesn't cover it. Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Let's fuck the people up with shit food. You know, if you could get three things for $2 at Taco Bell, what the fuck could be in that?
Yeah.
Now, this is just common sense. And 30 years ago, Little Caesar was selling a pizza on TV for $6.99. Now, 30 years ago, now, what happened to the price of the automobile in the last 30 years? The home in the last 30 years? Food in the last 30 years? Wouldn't you say they minimum quadrupled? Like, how is that pizza not $32? As a matter of fact, Papa John's will give you that pizza for $5.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2017. Yeah. It's not 1997. 1987. It's fucking 2017. $5.
Yeah.
Could
I keep telling Joe about the documentary that you had me watch about, you know, the insecticides that they put on the corn and everything is meant to explode the stomach of the bug. So essentially, if you give me non-GMO or you give me GMO corn, I'm ingesting those insecticides. And
I learned
so much from that stuff.
It's called genetic roulette.
Yeah.
The movie's called Genetic Roulette. Everyone should have to watch it. But the thing is, most people aren't going to watch it because what I don't know don't hurt me. Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
So back to what I was talking about. Help somebody. Go to one of those. Hospitals that those little kids are in. And talk to them, and you'll see these kids who are basically dying have the greatest little attitude, and they got the biggest smiles. You know, if you took the time to read to one of them, you'd feel so good about you. Or go the other way with it: nursing home, old people's home, where the people can't see anymore because their eyes, or they couldn't afford to get the whatever surgery they needed. Now they can't see. You know, someone who's like 87 or whatever age they're at. Go there and read to them. Read, you know. Like, is there a book you'd like me to read? You will feel so good about you. Now, the reason why my whole life is unstoppable, my whole life has always been around helping other people, whether it's helping guys in the wrestling world and helping them live the dream. Yeah, I must have helped 30 guys get jobs, you know. But then all the stuff I did with kids during that period when I had the huge Q rating and all the stuff I did to help kids with reading. Then, now I'm out now, what I do with DDPY, it's all about changing lives. I mean, every day I'm thinking about how I can change the world. That's what I'm thinking about in a positive manner. It's not going to be all at one time, but I know that everyone, and I mean everyone, needs some sort of yoga in their life. A lot of them are never going to dig the regular yoga. They're just not. A lot of them are, but most of them aren't. That's my audience. And being able to create, I had a woman the other day, I was flying in from L.A., this is about 3 months ago, I guess, and she tapped me on the shoulder. She was behind me and across the aisle. And she's handing me a piece of paper as she's saying, Dallas, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for creating something I can do. I love your workout. I said, you do DDP yoga? She's like, absolutely. She goes, I want you to have this. And she has this piece of paper. And as I read it, she said, Dallas, she said, I just want to thank you for creating something that everyone can do. Especially me, because there's really been nothing I've been able to do. I know I don't look like it today, but I'm getting better and I'm working on it. And then she had an arrow, and on the arrow it flipped into the back page, you know, the opposite side. And on it, it said, Einstein once said, it's not that I'm so smart. I just stick with the problem longer. And I thought, wow. I turned around and looked at her. I go, that is one of my new favorite quotes. You know, because it's all about, first of all, I love Einstein. People who, you know, two of my favorite quotes come from two of the people who I grew up loving. And the main thing I loved about Einstein growing up was his playfulness. Like, there's so many pictures with him with his tongue stuck out. I used to wear one. I have a picture of me holding the United States Championship title. And I'm wearing an Einstein shirt with his tongue, his tongue stuck out, you know?
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali's another one. You know, I just, I loved, you know, what he did I just did you're going to see on DDP Yoga Now, my app. And anybody listening right now, definitely download DDP Video Wake Up Alarm Clock. There's some really funny shit on there. There's ridiculous shit on there. There's inspiring stuff on there. That's the main part of it. But the DDP Yoga Now app, my entire fitness system in one app, Motivational Mondays, I do something for that every Monday. And this week I have another one coming out besides on Monday. And it very easily could have been on Motivational Monday, but it's around Black History Month. And I use Ali as the example, and it's pretty powerful. And it gives people an example of how they can do what they do. My other favorite quote, there's so many of them, but this plays a lot into depression, where most times you're going to repeat that same depressing story that pulls you into the hole. You're going to fixate on it, and you're going to say it over and over and over. You're going to try to get it out of your head, but you're so used to embracing it, you don't even realize you're doing it. But let me give you a quote that's completely the opposite. And I'm going to not tell you who said the quote, but I'll tell you what he said, and you'll know exactly who it is.
Okay.
The repetitions of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. Now, I'm going to explain, because some people don't know what aspirations are. The repetitions of aspirations, it's like, you know, like they did something funny on Saturday Night Live. The Smalley character, we'd go, I like, and I did it as Positively Paige when I was WWE. You know, I like me, you like me, you know, let me help you like you.
You worked with Christian with that, right?
And I was just having fun with that, but it's real. You know, the reason why people make funny shit on Saturday Night Live, because it's real. You know, at least their interpretation of what real is. And, you know, the more you say something that's positive, you know, that's goal-oriented, the more likely you are to actually achieve it. The repetition of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. This is what he said. And you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. I mean, there's no one who doesn't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
He's been saying it since he was a teenager.
Oh, wow.
So you tell me, does it pay off? You know, and this is the thing right now. Depression. You get in it. I'm challenging you the next time you even start. Don't wait until you're in full-blown depression. Or if you've waited, then do it then. But ideally, when you can feel the depression coming on, go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and pull up motivational videos. Watch them. Listen to them.
All right.
Listen to what they have to say. If you liked it and were inspired, rewind it. Rewind it. Rewind it. The repetitions of affirmations. You got to hear it. You got to get that bullshit story out of your head.
Yeah.
You got to focus on what can keep you in a good state of mind. Because, again, depression's real, but fighting depression is pivotal. And for me, you know, I used to have a line where I used to say all the time, but I still say it occasionally, I never had a bad day in my life. I've had plenty of bad moments and bad, you know, bad bumps, but I just don't stay there.
Yeah.
That's the key.
One thing that Rebecca and I will repeat to each other is, you know, it's not a bad life. It's just a bad day. You know?
Or a bad, doesn't have to be a bad day. Bad moment. Because a bad moment turns into a bad half hour, turns into a bad, you know, hour, turns into a bad day. So it doesn't have to be a bad day. You know, the way I look at it, and this is when it becomes real. And this actually happened to my wife. So it was really, this is really at home for me. When someone tells me how depressed they are, I say, do you have cancer? No, well, why would you say that? I go, because that's a fucking problem. And then my wife got cancer. And she treated it like no one I'd ever seen before. She treated it like it was an interruption in her day. Yeah, an inconvenience was the actual word.
Wow.
And because she did that, going through everything that she had to do, it was way easier. But if she falls into, I'm going to die, Paige, I'm going to die, you go, so fuck, you're halfway there. You know, she didn't do any of that.
It's all about the attitude.
It's all about the story. It's all about the inner voice. It's about the story you tell yourself from A to Z. And I know because when I became a wrestler, no one believed in me. No one. Everyone told me why I was stupid and crazy for even entertaining the thought. Michael PSA fell down on the ground, belly laughing. So that can pull anybody down. It's never really what we say that pulls us down. It's never really what they say that pulls us down. It's how we let what they say affect us.
Right.
So that's the big lesson.
Yeah, that's,
and
that's amazing.
When you have two
that's
of
amazing.
You know, especially when you have two of you. You know, you can, and you go through that. Now you can go into it, and or you could just look at each other and start laughing. You know, okay, so let's pull our head out of our ass for starters. Let's get on the mat. Get on the mat. I don't care what kind of you do my yoga, DDP yoga, or you do regular, like, yogi yoga. Or if you go for a fucking run, or you go lift weights. Exercise beats down stress.
We're
definitely
trying to get that through our heads, DDP, and we are. I've struggled a lot, and I'm trying really, really hard to get in the mindset that you're speaking of. And without, you know, you there to remind me, I don't know if I could even have started to get into the mindset. So we're just really, really grateful to you for everything. And, you know, we're running out of time here, and it sucks because we're having a hell of a time talking to you. It's just everything you say is so incredible, but we are definitely running out of time, unfortunately. And we know
Let me give this to you, okay? First of all, you have to listen to the way you talk to yourself or the way you're talking to me. I want you to go back and listen to everything you just said at the end. And when you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. There's two things that pop in my head when people say that to me. Well, really three. The first one is there is no try. There is only to do. And that's not what Yoda said. That's how I say what Yoda, what the idea was. You know, Nike became a bazillion-dollar company. One catchphrase, just do it. And the last thing I'll leave you with, because it's the most powerful quote of any of them. If you say you can or you say you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
You get to decide. Do you know who originally said that?
Is that Henry Ford?
Actually, Yes, but you know, like what the fuck did he ever do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You know, that's really, you know, the method. So from there, take that and, you know, go back and listen to this. Because it's all the same shit I say every day, not just to people I talk to myself.
Yeah.
You know, my wife
yeah.
and I
and
are
you're...
constantly checking each other. You know?
And you're the most positive dude that we've ever seen, you know, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's why there's
yeah,
so many
I mean,
people
last...
doing what I'm doing.
The first time that I ever talked to you and we hung up the phone, Joe looked at me and he said, well, if you can't talk to Diamond Dallas Page and get a swift kick in the ass to get started on making your life better, you're never going to, there's nothing you can do that's ever going to make your life better. So the swift kick in the ass that you give me every time I talk to you is incredibly needed and important to me. So, you know, thank you so much. And I know that Joe really appreciates, you know, all the time that you've taken to, you know, to email me back, even when you're really, really, really busy and everything. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do.
All right, kids, I got to go. Stay strong, be positive, and keep those positive affirmations. Come up with it. I want you to write me down what you're going to say to yourself, because that's how it starts. And you got my email back, so send me. What is it? And how many times you're saying to yourself a day? Again, it's like a muscle. Your brain's like a muscle. You've got to condition it. All right, guys, got to roll. See ya.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks,
EP. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to wrap it up with Matt Van Fossen's Where Are You Going to Run Now? We'll be right back to wrap things up.
Thanks a bunch. Thanks for joining us this week on Voices for Change 2.0. And, you know, Dallas had to get going, but, you know, we appreciate all the time that he put in with us, all the great advice. We hope that, you know, as you were listening, you were able to take something away from what he said as well. He's definitely the most positive guy we've ever known. And, you know, just talking to him alone will motivate you to do anything. So take that and run
and
with
let,
it this week.
Let us just say that we apologize for all of the F-bombs. We didn't know they were coming. So, you know, he's amazing and we love him. But that was a little bit of a shock to us. So, you know, but we would have him on again
colorful.
In a heartbeat. He's fantastic and he's just a hell of a guy.
Check out DDP Yoga. You know,
absolutely.
Especially if you're looking to get into shape.
www.ddpyoganow.com is where you want to go. And he's also got the app on Android and Apple. You want to look for DDP Yoga app. Make sure you check out the videos of the success stories, and it will motivate you. It will motivate you like nothing else ever has before. So we thank you again for being here with us, and we hope you guys have a great weekend.
We'll talk to you next week. See you guys.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.